All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Rinkwide Vancouver. We welcome you inside our Rinkwide Vancouver studios in the lower lobby of the Wall Center Hotel in the heart of downtown Vancouver. And center really says it all. It's truly in the middle of the downtown core, close to just about everything from restaurants to shopping to sports and theater venues. English Bay and Stanley Park are just a walk away. Whether you have people in from out of town or you're considering a staycation for yourself, make sure it includes the Wall Center Hotel. Jeff Patterson joined on this episode by Irfan Ghaffar. And Irf, the Vancouver Canucks, it was a bit of a slow build in this hockey game, but crunch time in the third period, the quick strike offense, goals 12 seconds apart, turned this game on its ear, and the Vancouver Canucks grab a 1-0 lead in this best-of-seven series.
Yeah, it was a little sleepy in the first period, a little bit sleepy in the second period as well, but when it mattered most, the Vancouver Canucks came to play. I mean, look, their stars maybe weren't their superstars, as we're accustomed to seeing, but get contributions from guys that have been contributing late. Dakota Joshua, Elias Lindholm, obviously the reason why Lindholm, a lot of talk in this market about him for so much time. And then you get great saves from your goaltender and you're up 1-0 in the series. It doesn't matter how you get it done, if it's ugly, but you're up 1-0 in the series. And right now they only have 3 more to go.
And to go to Joshua authoring an incredible story. This is a guy whose season was interrupted, and he was having a terrific season. The hand injury in Chicago in mid-February, and sometimes it takes guys a while to regain their form. Sometimes they don't ever rediscover the good game that they had going. But Dakota Joshua has jumped right back in. He had the 2-goal game on Easter Sunday against the Anaheim Ducks, the 1 goal between his legs.
Yeah.
You know, and that showed confidence early in his return to the lineup. Well, you add it all up here. He's been back for 11 games now. 7 goals for the big forward who was on his game tonight, and some great work by Elias Lindholm on the game winner. And again, it came moments after they hadn't even announced the Quinn Hughes goal. The place was still buzzing. And we'll talk a lot about the atmosphere. It was electric at Rogers Arena. Again, that 9-year wait was well worth it for Canuck fans. Dakota Joshua gets to the front of the net. Lindholm in, beats Jeremy Lauzon on the forecheck, frees the puck up. Dakota Joshua goes to the net, and Connor Garland, those two have been on lockstep all season long, and Garland slides the puck. Joshua, who goes back against the grain and goes top shelf over the shoulder of UC Saros, a big-time goal at a big point in this hockey game, gave the Canucks their first lead, one that they wouldn't relinquish, and what do you know? They skate away with a 4-2 victory, so the fans go home happy. They'll be back for game two of this series on Tuesday night, and a chance for the Canucks to grab a commanding lead, and for the Predators, they'll regroup, and that's what you love about playoff hockey, is that it's all about adjustments, and so, you know, the Predators played well. They kind of just kept it rather quiet for much of the night, but look, when you're the road team, you don't have to put put on a show. Yep. It's just about, you know, getting the lead. They did that. The Canucks tied it up. They reestablished the lead on the power play. But that was it for offense. And a lot of that due to Thatcher Demko, who gives up two but slams the door after that. And, you know, a lot of the talk coming into the series was the Canucks believed that they had better depth scoring. Well, when Dakota Joshua scores a pair, including one into the empty net, and Elias Lindholm also cashes in for the Vancouver Canucks. I mean, that's a mismatch that the Canucks want to exploit. They feel that they've got scores deeper in their lineup, and you saw it firsthand tonight.
Well, yeah, and especially when, you know, you're not getting contributions from guys like Elias Pettersson or JT Miller, but you mentioned it. I mean, since he's come back, Dakota Joshua has been one of the best Vancouver Canucks. You know, his price tag is only going up and up and up. Not sure the Canucks going to be able to afford him, but it's the depth scoring. And I think that that's something that this team has struggled with a lot this season. Something that you and I have sat here and talked about. You know, the stars are the stars for the most part, but it's your depth scoring that you're going to need in the playoffs. And that third line, Elias Lindholm, Dakota Joshua, and Connor Garland was very good in game one against the Nashville Predators. I mean, the Lindholm on Lauzon to get the puck loose, and then Connor Garland being Connor Garland, sneaking in and underneath, kind of getting the puck from the between the legs and feeding Joshua. I mean, that's what you need. That's that playoff hockey type of stuff. But you got to go back all the way to the first period, Jeff. I mean, Thatcher Demko with an absolutely ludicrous save to keep the game scoreless. I mean, if he doesn't save that, it could be a very different hockey game. It was after one, but Thatcher Demko, I mean, came as advertised. You know, people thought that maybe it was only two games for him and we didn't really see his best, but if he gets hot and goes godly, this team could be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, and it comes off his old buddy, Anthony Beauvillier, 2.5 minutes into the hockey game, and you're right. I mean, the Predators trying to establish the lead early in this game. Thatcher Demko says, not there. Now, they do open the scoring late in the first period. Elias Pettersson gets waved out of the faceoff circle. Sam Lafferty comes in, and then Lafferty charges out to the point along with Nils Höglander, and there's some confusion. Pettersson stuck sort of in no man's land, gave Jason Zucker just too much time off that sideboards. Colton Sissons, with a terrific screen, takes the eyes away of Thatcher Demko, and the Predators open the scoring. You know, not an ideal start, obviously. We've talked about the importance of the first goal for the Vancouver Canucks, but you also saw as this night unfolded that they've got the firepower to overcome a one-goal deficit, but that's the danger of going down early, is now you're a bounce away from being down 2-0, but the Canucks able to even the score. Look, it wasn't a good goal. I'm sure it felt great for Elias Lindholm, but that's a goal that UC Saros has to stop. And essentially in a one-goal game, I know the Canucks win it 4-2 with an empty netter, but when you're looking at the difference in this hockey game, you know, I didn't really have an issue with either of the goals that the Predators scored. We talked about the screen. Ryan O'Reilly has scored a bunch of goals and has done some damage against the Canucks in the playoffs back when he was with St. Louis in the bubble. He had time and space as well. We can talk a little bit more about the Canucks' penalty kill there, but those are both pretty good shots. Otherwise, Thatcher Demko does what you expect from Thatcher Demko, and that is make the saves. This wasn't a high event game. The final shots were 21 apiece, but in a tight hockey game, and I'm sure UC Saros would tell you, like, that's a save that he has to make. Again, Lindholm will take the goal, but from distance off the rush and a shot that essentially just gets right through him, but that gave the Canucks some life, man. It got them building and rocking again, and that got them back on even footing, and I think just allowed them to exhale a little bit, even though they fell behind again at 2-1. That was a big goal because they didn't want to fall behind 2-0, obviously. So for them to get on the board, get some energy going, get rewarded. And look, they shot the puck. Irv, they had 4 shots on goal in the first period, including a power play. Like, the first period was not – Canucks tried to be physical. I think we saw that from Toronto, though, in Boston. It was, you know, they're going to run the Bruins out. Yeah, but there's also a puck to deal with. And in the first period, I mean, the Canucks wanted to establish a physical game, and I get that, but only 4 shots on goal, including a first period power play. And so what did they do? They came out, they had 4 shots in the first minutes of the second period, including their first goal. So, you know, I think that was clearly an adjustment. And hopefully we'll hear from Rick Tocchet and some of the players as we work our way through this first playoff edition of Rinkwide Vancouver. I mean, make a goalie make some saves. They just didn't do much of that in the first period.
No, and I think that was kind of a feeling out process a little bit. I mean, they felt them a lot on the boards. They came out swinging, right? And they felt the momentum of the fans. The Canucks really hit everything that moved, but it was not getting pucks on net. It was not even testing UC Saros. And we know he's a great goaltender, but the Canucks didn't generate much offense there in that first period. You mentioned the shot total. Do you have a problem with the Canucks not challenging that goal on Demko? The glove did get poked there. I wondered that if they were going to do it. And you saw Rick Tocchet saying, no, don't worry about it. I mean, obviously it doesn't matter now. They end up getting the win. But I wonder if they did challenge that, they went back and looked at it, it would have ended up being overturned.
There was a slight delay. I saw Mike Yeo. They considered it. I think without a doubt, they looked at it and they got some looks and must have felt that at that point, you know, the roll of the dice is if you get it wrong, you're putting them back on the power play, and they've just scored on the power play. So I didn't really have a huge issue with them not challenging there. There was a lot of time left in this hockey game. It was just a one-goal deficit in that moment, but still, you know, again, trailing and playing catch-up and chasing the game, and they go to the third period. And, you know, how many times did we trot out the Canucks record when they led after two periods this season? It's not easy to come back in hockey games. And the other thing, too, was, for me at least, the power play goal that Ryan O'Reilly scores, it's from Nyquist and Forsberg. Josi has the assist on the Zucker goal. Like, right there, you've essentially got the meat of the Predators' order on the score sheet and into the series. And through 40 minutes, there was no sign of any of the Canucks' top players on the score sheet. I thought JT Miller and his line and the underlying numbers show it. Like, they dominated when they were on the ice at even strength. I didn't want to have a post game here where we were talking about chances but not showing up and contributing. And so when you look at the way the final tallies came for the Vancouver Canucks, it's Quinn Hughes scoring his first of the playoffs. It's Brock Besser getting an assist. JT Miller gets the second assist on the empty net, or it's a cheapie, but you know,
take
least,
it.
Yeah, he's on the board, still waiting for Elias Pettersson, and this was more of regular season Elias Pettersson, unfortunately, but you know, they get the win, and you just want to believe that the next game's another opportunity for him to step up here and make some things happen, but didn't see an awful lot from his line. They got scored on that first goal that the Predators opened the scoring. It got to the point in the third period where Rick Tocchet took Sam Lafferty off that line, went back to Mikheyev for a couple of short spurts, and then as the Canucks tried to see this game out, shortened the bench a little bit and ultimately got the job done. So we're just getting started here. Yep. Lots to come on this episode of Rinkwide Vancouver. All of our usual features, the Rinkwide Vancouver 3-star selection. We'll have our stat that stands out. We will check in on Rinkwide Worldwide. And again, we want to know where in the world you're checking us out and watching these Canucks playoffs. Drop us a note. Any of our social channels, you can see them on the stream in front of you. And we want to hear from you, and we want you to be a part of this program as well. We've got a new partner that we're going to introduce a little bit later on as well. We're excited about that. So a whole lot to come here. This is Rinkwide Vancouver. It's a presentation of the Applewood Auto Group, Ford, Nissan, Kia, Infiniti, Mitsubishi, Chevrolet, you name it, all of those brands under the one banner, applewood.ca. And you know, it's all good at Applewood. We continue on here. We're hoping to pick up the thoughts of Rick Tocchet after this hockey game and go live to the podium and hear from the head coach and see what he thought of his team's performance. And again, it was a bit of a slow start trying to establish the forecheck, 20 hits in that first period. So
a lot of hits.
Yeah, I mean, a hit a minute for the Vancouver Canucks. And the thing about a seven-game series, or at least the potential of a seven-game series, you know, there's the here and now, but there's the cumulative effect as well. And you look at a guy like Roman Josi, if he played 11 minutes and 3 seconds in that third period when the Preds were down and trailing and trying to mount a comeback, and he's their offensive engine, as Quinn Hughes is for the Vancouver Canucks, but the guy logs 26 minutes and 51 seconds on the opening night of the playoffs. He's a workhorse. We know that, and has been for a long time in this league, but that adds up. And can Roman Josi sustain 27 minutes of ice time where he's going to take a pounding? And you know that the Canucks are going to try to target him, and they certainly have him circled on their whiteboard in their locker room. So, you know, they get out of this game where Josi has an assist on the first goal, but that's really, you know, his only fingerprints offensively. Man, though, he had that shot, the turnover, where he was allowed just to walk down Main Street, wound up with the slap shot, got the upper side of the crossbar and deflected out of play. But you don't want to be giving Roman Josi those sorts of open looks.
Well, no, especially not when I think it clocked in at like 98, 99 miles per hour. I want to see the dent in the crossbar that he made, but almost 5 more minutes than the Canucks' biggest ice time guy, and that's Quinn Hughes. So that's saying something about how much the Nashville Predators depend on Roman Josi. And you mentioned it, obviously he is a workhorse, but almost 27 minutes of ice time on the opening night of the playoffs. If the Canucks can make life miserable for Roman Josi, you know, I know he plays both sides, power play, PK, obviously everything for that team, but at some point it's going to get to a lot of hockey. So you lean on him with the physicality, but you'd be smart with it. And obviously with the penalties the Canucks took, you know, the penalty kill was okay. And think that obviously they got the power play goal there, but the power play for the Vancouver Canucks, I think that's something that we should obviously, you know, try and get into as well. It was clicking. The puck was moving on some of them, but not that many shots once again.
Yeah. So the first power play of the night, I didn't think they did much.
Yeah.
I mean, opportunity knocking right there. Colton Sissons gets called for a cross check on Sam Lafferty. You know, we've talked about the fact that the Predators' penalty kill, they did so many things well in the second half of the season, but as their record improved, their penalty kill really didn't. And on the road, their penalty kill was an issue most of the season, 27th in the National Hockey League. And so you thought, here's an opportunity, and the Canucks did nothing with it, really nothing. I mean, Brock Besser had a one-time look from his off wing, but Saros saw it the whole way and was able to make the save. That was the only shot on goal the Canucks had. And then they had power play third period. Lauzon gets called for the cross check on Besser. Again, in a tight game, an opportunity for the power play to step up here. The Predators' power play had already cashed in, and nothing doing there. 4 minutes of power play time, two shots on goal. That's not enough. And so, you know, how many of these post-game pods do we do in the regular season where we said, like, they can get away with it here, you know, but the stakes go up come playoff time. They win this game. That's ultimately the bottom line. The Canucks have a 1-0 lead in this series, but there will come other moments as this thing goes along. The other thing to keep in mind, too, is, like, Nashville's a physical team. If you've got a power play that's struggling, other teams recognize that. Maybe they start to take a few more liberties. Maybe they don't fear putting you on the power play quite as much. So not going to suggest that Nashville's going to get reckless here and start to run around. But you have to make them pay. You've got to make that power play make some sort of statement. And so I thought the second one was better than the first in terms of puck movement. But at the end of both of them, they had one shot on goal. That's not enough. Again, make the goaltender make some stops.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing. And to be completely honest, it's almost, I know you and I look at each other sometimes when we see the personnel of the power play. A lot of these teams know that Connor Garland really isn't going to do too much out there. So it's almost 4-on-4.
Yeah.
At that point with the other four guys just rifling the puck to each other. So it was okay. I mean, it wasn't great. You know, we just talked about it, but these things are all about adjustments. So the Canucks have to make adjustments on it. But the positive news is they won the hockey game, right? We're sitting here talking about a playoff win for first time, obviously, here in 9 years, the Canucks are able to open it up and win and beat the Nashville Predators, take this series 1-0. A lot of people, Jeff, are commenting and wanting to get in on the conversation with us. Mitchapalooza. This is asked a million-dollar question because you and I have sat here for a very, very long time, especially in the late stages of this season. How can the Canucks get Pettersson going?
I was worried when I read that. I thought that he wanted Pettersson to get going.
Like, no,
get
he's going. Here. Trust me, JFAT's going.
It is, and it's an issue. And again, they won the hockey game, so I
who really cares? But people do.
No, I mean, it was all in my feed as well. People were like, you know, because it was weird as this game unfolded. One of the things that surprised me a little bit was Nils Höglander had a completely empty stat line. And along press row, we used to call that the Louie, that, you know, he would wear the uniform. And at the end of the night, there would be nothing, not a hit, not a shot, not a face-off, not a takeaway or a giveaway, like just nothing. The only stat was -1 because he was out there on that first goal by Jason Zucker. And that surprised me because we saw, even in the final home game against Calgary, that really didn't mean much. He had the Flames chasing him around all night long. And I thought, Nils Höglander, that motor's always going. I fully expected that he would be a pain for the Nashville Predators to play against. Again, his first look at NHL playoff hockey, so I'll give him that. But they need more from him. But I can hear people screaming, forget Höglander. What about the guy in the middle on that line? And I agree that, you know, again, another night, it felt like too many times knocked off his feet, down on his knees or on the seat of his pants, whatever the case. A little surprising when I look at the shot attempts for Elias Pettersson at the end of the night, 6 shot attempts, 2 of them on goal. So he had a couple of looks, you know, 7-6 in the faceoff circle. So he held his own there. But this is a guy who has committed to this team. This team's committed to him. I know the new contract hasn't kicked in, but he is still being paid to produce at the end of the night, and 1 goal in 14 games for Elias Pettersson.
So, that's the stat that's telling, right? 1 goal, and you're paying this guy all this kind of money. Multi from our YouTube. Who's the right fit on the wing then? Because, you know, both of them were quiet, right? So does Rick Tocchet try and get Elias Pettersson going by putting a Connor Garland on that line? I don't think you can mess with that line, though, with Elias Lindholm and Dakota Joshua. You just can't. And I think that Elias Pettersson's a National Hockey League player. He gets paid a lot of money. He's going to have to figure it out, and they're going to have to try and let him figure it out before they shake up other things, because what's working right now clearly has a 1-0 series lead.
Yeah, I mean, look at the underlying numbers. Individual Corsi of 44% for Elias Pettersson. The shots on goal at even strength, 7-2 in the Predators' favor. No. Like, that's not the way you want the ice tilted here. And the JT Miller line more than held its own. I mean, when Besser was on the ice, the shots were 10-4 in the Canucks' favor. Ultimately, they do score the Quinn Hughes goal, so they weren't on the ice for any goals against, so they win their battle that way. I thought the Miller-Suter-Besser line started the second period strong. Pia Suter had a really good opportunity before Elias Lindholm had scored, and there were a couple of other, after Lindholm scored, Besser and Suter had a couple of good looks in tight as well. They were generating, and you just kind of felt like maybe it was a matter of time there, but I didn't ever get that sense, really, from Elias Pettersson and his line mates. You know, Sam Lafferty's calling card, if he's going to be a contributor here is his speed and his size, and he's got to be willing to get in on the forecheck. He drew the first power play of the night that we talked about, but I almost feel like going to Lafferty should have been the plan B for Rick Tocchet. I probably would have started Ilya Mikheyev there, even though he hasn't been productive. That line has had some moments. He's not hurting the hockey club. And if Mikheyev had remained quiet, then if you're Rick Tocchet, maybe you look to make that switch somewhere along the line. So I was a little surprised that he made the switch before the playoffs here and started the series with Lafferty, because now, do you come back with Sam Lafferty? Do you give Mikheyev a look there? But I'm with you. Like, as much as you feel like Dakota Joshua could help any line right now and deserves a promotion, I don't think you want to touch that third line that maybe is really their second line when you look at the productivity that they're getting from their lineup right now.
Well, that's the thing, right? And I think for Elias Pettersson's sake, like, he's just got to figure it out. I mean, look, everyone is battling with something. Everyone's got something going on at this point in the season, but he's too good of a player to go this long without having the production that we're used to seeing from him. I think that that's the biggest thing. And I know that there's a lot of people in our comment section, in your feed, everyone's feed, and on different social circles around, when you look at this team, saying, what's going on with 40? Well, what's the deal? Well, no one really knows. And it's kind of up to him to have to figure it out, right? The coach can only answer so many questions. So can his teammates. So this one's going to, it's going to be an interesting one to follow as this series goes on, but there's no doubt in my mind that he has the ability. It's just, where is it? Dub Zero from YouTube, pods in, PDG out for game two. Probably going to see something along those lines, I think, from PDG, who was the low ice time guy for the Canucks.
Yeah, took a penalty there in the third period as well, just 8 minutes and 45 seconds. If Phil DiGiuseppe or any of those guys lower in the lineup is going to really make a statement to the coaching staff that they deserve to be in the lineup on a nightly basis here moving forward, then stay out of the penalty box, but also be more, you know, be a ferocious forechecking beast and finish every check. And PDG credited with just 2 hits on the night. Something tells me that if Podkolzin's in the lineup and plays a regular shift, he's probably going to be able to take the body more than just 2 times. So, you know what? Like, Rick Tocchet, I asked him a little bit about that decision because we saw on Saturday at practice, the final practice before game one, generally Tocchet practices the way that he's going to play. So when PDG was part of the fourth line group and Podkolzin appeared to be an extra at practice, you know, that seemed like a pretty good tell that that's the way they were going to start the playoffs. And sure enough, that's what happened. But it was also interesting to see at practice yesterday, there was talk at before the whole group started working one-on-one with Vasily Podkolzin. I'm pretty sure that we'll see Pods before this series is out. And if the Canucks advance, you know, I think there is a role for him to play here. And so, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Now, do you touch a winning lineup, right? Like, I guess that's the question that a lot of coaches, even if guys didn't really, you know, leave their mark on this game, the way they were lined up, they won this hockey game. So, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if Tocchet came back with the same group, but in the same breath, I can't sit here and tell you that Phil DiGiuseppe was a difference maker, and so the door certainly seems like it's open for Vasily Podkolzin. But I think this was the coach deferring to a veteran guy where maybe he was a little concerned about, you know, the nerves and opening night of the playoffs and maybe the moment being a little too big for a guy like Vasily Podkolzin. So if that's the reasoning, I get it. I'm not sure I agree with it fully, but I think I understand where Tocchet was going. But to me, the door seems completely open here to Podkolzin replacing Phil DiGiuseppe.
No, absolutely. And I think the biggest thing with that is just it's getting that fresh body in as well. And Podkolzin, you know, he's shown at times this season, if the physicality is there, you know, there's an opportunity for him to maybe move up in the lineup. I know people are calling for maybe Pods to get a shot there, or, you know, you take Lindholm off center and then put him on the wing, but I don't think they're going to do that. Another player, it was an interesting one, is Filip Hronek, because a lot of talk about him, obviously the contract and everything like that, and the looming, you know, what's going to happen. He's a restricted free agent at the end of this season. Playing with Quinn Hughes, people are wondering if that would, he was going to move and hold his own pair. Plus two, took a penalty, 1 shot on net. What'd you make of his game?
He took a slap shot, which caught me by surprise because I've been charting this, and, you know, we see him after practices. His right arm is wrapped pretty heavily, and I think it is limiting somewhat, and we just hadn't seen him wind up with the big one-timer. He did at one point in the hockey game, and I was like, wow, hey, he still got it. But look, the holding the stick penalty late in the second period, and he kind of held it twice, and I think he probably would have got away with the first, but he didn't let go, and I think it was it McCarron? I think it was McCarron behind the net, and you know, you're putting the ref in a position to make a judgment call. And I really didn't have an issue there. I just didn't think that he needed to hold the stick as long as he did. So not the greatest of decisions, but otherwise, like the rest of the defense corps here, I mean, I think all these guys tried to step up and be physical, you know, finishes with an assist. And as you said, he was on the ice for 2 goals for and none against. Yeah. So, you know, hard to argue with that. I think there's room for both him and Hughes to continue to up their game as a pair, but you know, as a jumping on point for the first playoff game for the two of them to come away with the individual results, but also the team final score, you call it a fairly successful night. But I actually was a little more impressed with some of the defensemen a little bit lower in the lineup. I thought Zadorov was as advertised, big, physical, looking to sort of play that role and, you know, didn't shy away from contact, nor would you expect him to. Tyler Myers, I thought, had his moments. I thought it was a bit of a mixed bag for Carson Soucy. Took a penalty, was on the ice for the first couple or the two Nashville goals, but he was also on the ice for the first Canuck goal. Yeah, I mean, they held Nashville with two goals at the end of the night, one of them the power play. So they gave up one 5-on-5 goal against, you know, one of the hottest teams in the National Hockey League over the second half of the season. And Philip Forsberg, with 48 goals and one of the top shooters in the National Hockey League, yeah, he gets an assist, a second assist on a power play goal. I would say that, you know, the Canucks would take that just about every night here if they limit Philip Forsberg to one secondary assist over the course of each game in this series.
Three shots and a minus three here for him, right? So he was on the opposite side of the puck. Pia Suter gets the goal now.
Oh, Quinn Hughes. Okay.
Hughes with two apples. So we watched the replay, saw it, watched it a million times. If you do, the puck does change direction as it's going towards the net. So you can credit Pia Suter with a goal for the Vancouver Canucks now.
But that comes back to this whole idea of depth scoring, right? And we saw it down the stretch a little bit. Didn't see many goals from Pia Suter, but we saw some nights here where some of the guys were chipping in, and we said, man, like, how big a deal would that be for the Vancouver Canucks if they could get some secondary scoring? Ultimately, they didn't get a lot of primary scoring in this hockey game, but there is the potential that this will be a long series, and they're going to need their best players to show up and take over, but they will absolutely take these contributions. So, you know, it turns out that it's two goals from Dakota Joshua, one from Elias Lindholm, and one from Pia Suter now, assisted by Quinn Hughes and Brock Besser. We saw on the replay that the puck clearly was tipped. But there were so many sticks there. It was like Anthony Beauvillier's stick was in the middle of things. There were a couple of Canucks at one point thought JT Miller kind of waved at it. But ultimately, they've watched enough replays now, I suppose, that it goes into the books as a Pia Suter goal. And good for him. And you wonder if, you know, maybe that can lighten the burden a little bit for a guy that struggled to put the puck in the net down the stretch. But contributing on night one of the playoffs, you hope that that's a big step in the right direction for a player like Pia Suter.
Well, absolutely. And I think that that's just, you know, you get the confidence from doing that, right? And you know, you see the puck go. And that's a big moment in a big game. We haven't even got into the lead up to the game and saw obviously what the players talked about after, about how wild it was, what the scenes were like in downtown Vancouver as well. And, you know, you come out for warmups and all of that. But Pia Suter, I mean, good for him. He was able to go and get that goal, his first ever playoff goal, first career playoff goal. So good for Pia Suter and the Vancouver Canucks. Depth scoring, obviously an important thing here as we continue this. But Thatcher Demko. There are very few goalies right now in these playoffs that if they get hot, like, they're going to win your team the series. And I know it's the Nashville Predators. I mean, they don't score too many goals, and it's a long series yet. But Thatcher Demko feels like if he's in that zone and he's seeing everything, there's not many shots that are beating him.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm just doing a report card on night number one here, I would say that edge to the Vancouver Canucks, that Saros let in the Lindholm goal that, you know, he's got to make a stop there when his team has a 1-0 lead. And so he blinked, and Thatcher Demko really didn't. Gave up the one in the first period and then a power play goal after that, and that was it. But he made some stops. He was forced to. And so, you know, three games back for Thatcher Demko, I don't know about you, but, like, I don't have any concerns or doubts. I mean, the way that he got across the net to make that Beauvillier save, you know, if anybody thought he was limited or hampered by the injury, I would say forget it. Thatcher Demko looks like he's good to go, and he can absolutely be a difference maker for the Vancouver Canucks. And, you know, you need your goaltender to be your best penalty killer as well. He gave up the one to Ryan O'Reilly, but I actually thought there were some high leverage penalty kills after that late second period. The PDG trip, you know, the game's at 2-1. The Predators have a chance to extend their lead there before the Canucks mount their comeback.
Yep.
I actually thought the penalty killers did a pretty nice job after giving up that first one. And so I think that they can take a positive. Even though Preds got one on them, I think from game to game, the Canucks have something to build off there. But in saying that, they have to be careful. The Canucks had two power plays, but they gave Nashville four on the night. Rick Tocchet laments the ones that, you know, are just avoidable. And we talked about Philip Hronek holding the stick and PDG of the trip, and Soucy was called for the hold, and Teddy Bluger got the interference. And, you know, that's the one they scored on. And maybe it's not a surprise because Bluger is such a huge part of the penalty kill. And so the first penalty of the night for the Vancouver Canucks, it's one of their top penalty killers. He's in the box. The Canucks are forced to go with Pia Suter and Phil DiGiuseppe as the penalty killing forwards in that moment. And the Predators are able to make them pay. So I do think that the Canucks would be advised to cut down on the number of penalties. But look, Nashville's out there trying to force the play and making the Canucks react to them. But I do think that's playing with fire if the Canucks give the Preds four power plays on a nightly basis.
I really like this comment in our YouTube chat. I've got to shout out Captain Canuck right now. It's a little bit of a reach, but we're going to discuss it. Third line giving West Coast Express line vibes. Lindy is Nazzy, Dak is Tuzi, and Garland is Morrison. Not too, too bad. But I get where you're going with it because Dakota Joshua had the game that he had and he has been looking good late. But Lindholm and Naslin, the comparison's a long way off right now.
That's kind of where you lose me a little bit.
And then Brendan Morrison and Connor Garland, but it's a funny one to mention. But yeah, everyone's excited. Look,
fun line.
Yeah.
And absolutely can be difference makers for the Vancouver Canucks. There's not much doubt about that. Lots of show still ahead. We want your feedback. We'll continue to work it in here. You've seen all the feedback channels. They're on the screen. If you're watching us on social media or on our YouTube stream, hit us up. But again, we keep asking because we want to know, where in the world are you watching Rinkwide Vancouver and where are you checking in on the Vancouver Canucks as they start this journey along the path that maybe, possibly, is going to lead them to the Stanley Cup. And you can see we've got props on the set here. This isn't the real thing. It's about one-third the size. But we thought we would spruce up the studio a little bit with a replica Stanley Cup. So hit us up on all of our feedback channels. And again, we'll get to Rinkwide Worldwide with a fun submission that I've been sitting on for a little while, but want to roll it out as we move along. But right now it's time for the three stars of this hockey game. And they are brought to you by Greta Bar, YVR, Canucks Army's home for food, drinks, and watching the game. And hey, we've announced this now that there are going to be Canucks Army playoff watch parties for road games throughout the postseason. So if you're looking for a place to watch Canuck games away from home with a bunch of like-minded fans that pull in for this hockey club, Greta Bar YVR is your place. And how about this? Frank Saravelli, he was sitting two seats beside me in the press box for this one. He's in town, has chosen the Canucks and the Preds as his series to check out early on. I think he's bouncing around, but he was here for the playoff opener, and he's going to be hosting a playoff watch party on Monday night at Greta, and he said on social that first drink's on him, so take him up on the offer. He's going to be answering questions about the Canucks and about the series and about hockey in general. So Frank the Tank in town, Greta Bar YVR on Monday for a little meet and greet with Daily Faceoff's NHL insider, Frank Saravelli. All right, let's get to the three stars. Not much doubt. Dakota Joshua, yep. He was already going to be our first star. As we discussed it, time was winding down, and then he sealed the deal into the empty net. So has the team lead in goals early on in the playoffs, up to two now. But he gets the game winner and then the empty netter as well. But he also had an assist. So in on three of the four Vancouver Canuck goals, just to get that sort of impact from a guy who looks like he's built for playoff hockey.
The opportunity that he's getting, right? He's not buried down the lineup. He's not playing fourth line minutes. He's making the most of his opportunity. And Quinn Hughes said that there's not many players like him. And he's right. You know, he's got that skill set. He likes playing that big, heavy physical game. He had five hits in the game that was very physical. But you go to the net and it's the soft touch around the net, right? He's got hands. We saw the between the legs goal not too long ago this season. He's got some hands, so it's definitely showing, and we'll see. We'll definitely track this and see where it goes, but no doubt in my mind that he's the first star.
Elias Lindholm is our second star here on Rinkwide Vancouver. Scores, and again, it was a big goal because it got the building back into this thing. It was just so raucous to start the night and the build-up and the intros and everything else, and then it went a little quiet after the Predators opened the scoring and there wasn't much to show for the first period, but the Lindholm goal gave the Canucks some life and a little bit of hope there. He goes 60% in the faceoff circle, which you sort of expect him to do when he's as close to healthy as he's going to be, battling through the wrist injury. But for me, and he doesn't get an assist, and I almost thought he could have on the Joshua goal, he wins his one-on-one battle against Jeremy Lauzon. That was a huge play in a big moment for the Vancouver Canucks. So Elias Lindholm, the second star. And we went with Roman Josi just based on the amount that the guy plays. He's a stud for the Predators. He had an assist in 26 minutes and 51 seconds of ice time. So there you go. Those are our three stars. Dakota Joshua, Elias Lindholm, and Roman Josi, the three stars, presented by Greta Bar YVR. Rick Tocchet's at the podium.
Just start with a thought on the atmosphere in the building tonight.
Yeah, it was incredible. I was told about it. It was pretty impressive how loud the fans were, even when it was were down 2-1. They didn't waver. It was really good to see.
Quinn was in here moments ago, called your performance a mature one in terms of sticking with it, being behind early. You go behind again in the second, but finding a way in the third. Is that how you saw it as well?
Yeah, I think killing those three penalties, was big. They got the one, I think those three, killing those off, they score there, it's a 2-goal lead. So I think that was big. A key moment, the penalty killing.
When you are as physical as you are, does that put an even bigger premium on the penalty killing? Because you're going to have to kill some at some point. It seemed like you guys were doing everything you could to be physical tonight.
Yeah, I mean, they're unfortunate penalties. I don't think we're undisciplined. I think it was a well-ref game. I just think things happen sometimes. We're going to be physical, you don't want to take penalties, but you still got to play physical. So we just got to be, got to make sure.
I want to ask you about Lindholm. I mean, you matched him up against the O'Reilly line. A big opening goal to get you guys going, and then really nice play behind the net to get the puck to Garland on the Joshua goal. Just how important is a game like that for him? Because maybe it wasn't going offensively the way he wanted earlier in the year.
Well, I mean, let's face it. That's why we acquired him for tonight. I mean, he was banged up, hurt and stuff. But this is, when he didn't play there, he skated and stuff like that, which helped. But I think these are the games why you acquire Lindholm. He was really good, 200-foot game, really good.
JT spends a lot of time in that game against the McCarron line, like their fourth line. You sort of chose that after they started the game with McCarron, but it was continuous throughout the game. Was that your call, something you worked for?
No, not really. It was just, it was more like I think Millsy deserved to start. And so they were starting the McCarron line every period. So that's probably some of it. It just happened that way. I just think that I wasn't matching it. It just, I don't know why it just happened that way. And I'm not going to pull Millsy off. I thought as the game went on, I think Millsy willed the team. I thought he played really well.
The 2-1 goal that they score, looked like it was a pretty close call between with Evangelista's stick and when the puck maybe went by. Did you have like a still, like how confident were you when you decided not to challenge?
Well, I believe in the video, Dylan Crawford. I think Clark, he was up there. Ian Clark, who, obviously he's a great goalie. I rely on them. I saw it, maybe saw two glances at it. And I did swear, are you effing sure? And I don't like doing that to the guys because it's a pressure. It's on them, but it's on me. Like, it's I go regardless of the fact, I believe what they say. So it wasn't really, it's a moot point at that point. If we make the wrong decision, when we got ourselves, it's not their fault because it's a pressure situation right there.
Rick, JT was asked about Dakota tonight and he said, I'm not sure he knows how good he is. I was wondering when you became a believer in his potential and also what, have you found is the best method to get that out of Dakota?
Well, last year I believed in him. Like I said, he's a, the local guys, I thought he could score 20 goals and he probably should have if he didn't get hurt. Dakota just doesn't know how good he can be. He knew there was another level there. We just had to whether push him or find it. And I give him all the credit in the world because he, I think he knows now what it's going to take. I thought this summer he learned from it. And I think him and Garland together have really kind of added this, like a swagger to our team as that, tactically the third line. I think that's really helped.
There you go. Rick talking to the podium after a 4-2 win over the Nashville Predators to take the first blood in this series. 4-2, the Canucks over the Nashville Predators. Jeff and Irv with you here. It is Rick-wide Vancouver. A couple of things to get to there. One, are you effing sure on the challenge? But he talked about the three penalty kills, and we had just talked about that before, the three stars. Yep. He really thought that was a momentum turn. And on a night where the penalty kill is only 75%, it's what have you done for me lately? And they killed off the last three Nashville power plays. He didn't think his team was undisciplined, said some things happened, thought it was a reasonably well-officiated game, was asked about Lindholm, and he said tonight is why we acquired him. And a lot of people, I think the jury was still out on Lindholm, that they wanted to, and the numbers weren't there in the regular season, but obviously there were other areas that he had contributed, but it wasn't about the regular season. It truly was a trade that was made for the playoffs. So great start for him on night one of the postseason.
Well, I mean, he's not wrong. It's just when you acquired him on January 31st and you get all that time and the buildup and everything that happened, and then you expect him to be this guy in the regular season when, like I've said, like we've talked about here, well, let's see what happens in the playoffs. So now you can start, and you know, fans can get on it now. But he's got one goal, and you know, you look at his numbers against Elias Pettersson's numbers over the last 15 or 20 games, you're gonna have to start to think about it a little bit. I mean, you know, the big contract's there. Elias Lindholm is looking for his next big contract, but for what it's worth and the reason why they acquired him, yes, he was as advertised in game one.
Vancouver Canucks defeat the Nashville Predators 4-2 on the first night of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yes, the playoffs back in Vancouver for the first time in 9 long years. I do want to talk about the atmosphere and the environment. Again, we'll get more listener feedback going. We'll check out Rinkwide Worldwide. We're getting some great submissions there, and we'll come back with a stat that stands out. You're watching and listening to Rinkwide Vancouver, and it's all a presentation of the Applewood Auto Group.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
And we're back on Rinkwide Vancouver. Jeff and Earth with you here, night one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And we're here after every single Vancouver Canuck game. And in fact, I was starting to get the suitcase out of storage because we're taking the show on the road. We're going to Nashville for games 3 and 4. I'll be reporting in live from Bridgestone Arena. Earth's going to be holding down the fort here. So should be some fun. Looking forward to that. And we know for sure that the Vancouver Canucks are going to play more games at home beyond these first two, because this series, if the Predators win at some point, then it's coming back to Vancouver. If not, way too early to be thinking about taking care of the Preds in 4. It was that tight for much of the night. But the Vancouver Canucks protect home ice, and they were a really good home ice team all season long, 27-9-5 in front of the home fans. So took them a little while to get revved up, but ultimately they get the job done. This is Rinkwide Vancouver. It is a presentation of the Vancouver Canadiens, who are back at the net. Catch fireworks and giveaways, Friday nooners, superstar appearances, all spring and summer long. Get your tickets at CanadiansBaseball.com. They got a new homestand opening on Tuesday, April 23rd. Don't miss the Nooner at the Nat on Friday the 26th or Family Fun Sunday on the 28th. For tickets, call 604-872-5232 or go to CanadiansBaseball.com. All right, regular viewers and listeners know that we do a stat that stands out after each and every Canucks game. I had lots of opportunities and options for this one, but when you get goals 12 seconds apart, Pia Suter's goal at 8:59, and 12 seconds later, it was Dakota Joshua's first of two on the night at the 9:11 mark. Absolutely, that stands out. And as you can see on our screen, the stat that stands out is a presentation of Fountain Tire. Two goals, 12 seconds apart. Irv, we saw a little Canucks history.
Yeah.
New playoff record.
Yeah, Canucks new playoff record. Yep. Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, look, I think the last one was 15 or 17 seconds. I think there's some mixed opinions out there as to which one it is and then who was it. But let's just say this. It was a long time ago before this happened. And it definitely blew the roof off that building. I mean, the atmosphere was absolutely electric. Rick Tocchet talked about it. Every player that was asked about it, you know, had something to say. And credit to the fans. I mean, look, this city has been starving for some sort of playoff hockey for so long. Watching this team draft the players of Elias Pettersson, you know, Brock Besser, and all these guys, you know, they go into the bubble, and we don't need to talk about that anymore, to be completely honest. I joke that, you know, now we're here, we need to stop talking about that. You get the game one win. They come out with the U2 song.
They did.
Yep. They came out to that. And I think a lot of people, you know, had some nostalgia, you know, and thinking about it as they were coming on the ice there. But just a vibe all day long in the city leading up to the game. It was a beautiful day in downtown Vancouver. And fans got their money's worth because this team did exactly what they've been doing to teams. You know, they went out. They ended up going down, but they fought back. They clawed their way back. And it was 12 seconds was the hockey game.
Yeah, turned the game on its ear, certainly turned it in the Canucks' favor. 12 seconds apart, those goals, and the goal by Joshua turns out to be the game winner. So, yes, definitely stats that stand out there. A presentation of Fountain Tire, and as we head further into spring, ask the Fountain Tire experts about their seasonal car care package to keep your vehicle in top shape. For the nearest service dealer, go to fountaintire.com. Canucks' game presentation is terrific. Even through the dark years, I mean, that was some of the best stuff that the organization had going, was the pregame videos, some of the, you know, the features that they do for that hockey club. And so no surprise that they had a couple of new wrinkles in their game presentation.
Of course.
You said they drew on the old U2 classic, and the irony there, of course, is U2 and the Predators and everything else. So, you know, I don't think they were necessarily some people might, they're trolling the Predators. No, I mean, this was a nod to the greatest era of Vancouver Canucks hockey back in 2010, 2011, 2012. And so from that standpoint, you know, I'm sure fans that were there then ate it all up, but there's new fans on board as well. And I'm sure there were some new fans experiencing playoff hockey. When you haven't had home games in the postseason in a decade, you're going to get some new fans in the building. And so, it was terrific towel power. And it is a cool look. When I got in there and the towels are all draped over each and every seat in the building. And then obviously as people fill in and show up and towels start to get waved around there. And they had reason to wave them in that third period. Again, first couple of periods, wasn't a whole lot going on for the Vancouver Canucks, but they showed up in that third and win this one by a score of 4-2. So good on the Vancouver Canucks. Not a perfect game by any stretch. Certainly some things to build on. We talked about the fact that the power play's got to be a little bit better, some discipline, and there's room for those guys at the top of the lineup to leave more of a mark. So I think if you're looking at this, you have to see it as a positive that they got past the Predators, their first test here in this series, and they did it without JT Miller and Brock Besser. And Quinn Hughes plays a role in this, but you know, those guys didn't have their best statistical offensive games. So you know that there's more to give there. And of course, Elias Pettersson is part of that conversation. And you just keep hoping that one of these nights, somehow, some of that Petey magic is going to show up again.
Absolutely. I can't remember the last time you look under the shot list for JT Miller and you didn't have one.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
You know he's going to shoot the puck next time. It's just obviously something that's definitely going to happen. Connor Garland with two shots. Besser did have the one. Pettersson with two. But we got to go back to, you know, him, Elias Pettersson. It's a talking point. People are happy about the win. They understand the win, the importance of it. You know, you take care of your first game on home ice and things like that. But everyone just wants to keep talking about where 40's been. And like, we don't know. I mean, the only people that can answer is really him. And I think the head coach is going to have to try and figure this out, you know, as the day goes on here.
We love bringing you local live coverage after each and every one of these Canucks games. And we had fun in the regular season. And the fun is just going to continue here in the playoffs. And it's incredible when we get local companies that want to step up and support what we are doing. And that allows us to do things like going on the road to Nashville. So we want to welcome Four Winds Brewing out of Delta to Rinkwide Vancouver. How many wins does it take to take a playoff series?
That would be four, Jeff.
Right. So four wins for four wins is a feature that we'll do here, essentially checking the out-of-town scoreboard around the National Hockey League. But the Vancouver Canucks have one of the four that they need to knock off the Nashville Predators and advance to round number two. And when you look elsewhere, what a game. Winnipeg and Colorado. That was crazy.
It was bananas. I mean, if you asked me which game was going to be the under, that's the one that I would have said.
Can the Avs get a save, I guess, is the question. And if you're Colorado, you score six on Connor Hellebuyck and you lose? Come on.
You're feeling really good about yourself if you're Colorado down 1-0. You score six goals past that guy. So you know you can score. It's up to your guy being able to stop the puck.
But the Rangers are winners earlier. Yeah. Florida, no surprise, as they knock off their cross-state rivals in the first game of the day. And then playoffs got underway on Saturday with Carolina and the Boston Bruins taking care of businesses that the home teams have won all six games so far. So good start for the home teams.
Home cooking.
Two series still to come. Edmonton, Los Angeles, Dallas, and Vegas. And they get going here in the next couple of nights. So we'll continue to chart this as the playoffs go along. But four wins by four wins is the feature here of the Canucks with the first win in this best of seven series against the Nashville Predators. And this portion of Rinkwide presentation of Four Winds Brewing, family owned and operated in Delta. Check out the Four Winds Brewing tap room and kitchen located in the Tilbury area, serving beers, burgers, and their famous tacos every day from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Four Winds is also home to the Four Winds Light Lager, a crisp, clean, easy drinking beer. It's a beer for everybody, a perfect beer for before, after, or during the game. And Four Winds Light Lager. Ask for it at your local liquor store or have some delivered right to your door through the online shop at fourwindsbrewing.ca. All right, want to get back to a little bit more listener feedback as well. Lots of people chiming in here. We've got Amar watching from Sacramento, California. We aren't even at the Rinkwide Worldwide portion yet, but we'll get there. But Amar checking us out from the California capital. What a game. Lindholm may show up on the score sheet for the first goal, but also created the game-winning goal with a perfect forecheck. Respect. Yeah, we touched on that a little bit earlier on, but looking forward to seeing what that third line can continue to do for the Vancouver Canucks. And I do think that that really is an area that the Canucks can exploit this Nashville team. That, you know, you look through the score sheet here tonight, Jankowski gets an assist, but you know, some of those other guys that we talked about, like Tommy Novak and Kiefer Sherwood and Cole Smith, like those are the depth guys on this Predators team. They don't show up on the score sheet, but Lindholm, Joshua, and Pia Suter do for the Vancouver Canucks. So edge to the Canucks on night one when it came to the depth guys stepping up.
Yeah, and like you mentioned off the top of the show, near the top, that might be their second line, just kind of the way the contributions are going, right? So is it depth? Is it, I mean, it's depth that Rick Tocchet's going to love because he can put different lines in different positions, but the quote-unquote third line is able to outscore its opponent. I mean, they'll take it on most nights. John O'Neill, lots of love to Myers' play tonight. Played big, played angry, good hits, and a mean slapper. That's Tyler Myers.
Okay, and I'm glad he brought up Tyler Myers, and I don't disagree. And you look at the final numbers, 19 minutes of ice time, six shot attempts, three hits, three block shots as well. But when we talked about the slow start in the first period, the Canucks off to the races trying to generate some offense. Sam Lafferty has the puck. He's got Elias Pettersson wide open on the right side off the rush. And elects to drop it to Tyler Myers. Between Myers and Pettersson, and look, we've talked about Pettersson and his struggles, I still think that Elias Pettersson's the better option there in that moment. And for whatever reason, Sam Lafferty dropped it off to Tyler Myers. Didn't even result in a shot. He took a shot, but I think it was blocked. It didn't result in a shot on goal, but it looked promising. But I still think Pettersson was the better option.
Well, the craziest part about that is Pettersson had his stance wide open and the stick was going up. Like, if you go back and watch that replay, he wanted it. And I guess Tyler Myers, maybe he's a bigger guy coming down the ice. So Lafferty's eyes just wide open, but that puck has to go to him. I don't even think there was a guy blocking it. But in any case, they say they won the game, so we can sit here and kind of laugh about it a little bit with Tyler Myers. But there's no way that Pettersson shouldn't have got that puck.
Well, keep all the feedback coming to our great clips chat line, presentation of Great Clips with more than 4,400 hair salons throughout the United States and Canada. Great Clips, world's largest hair salon brand, official hair salon of the NHL. For more information and to find a salon near you, check out greatclips.com. Great Clips, it's going to be great. I don't know if the Canucks were great necessarily, but they were good enough to get a victory here on night number one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. All right, if you've been watching us, you know that we do Rinkwide Worldwide as well. We've had some fun and we've had some great submissions and we'll continue to add to our map. And I said that I wanted to get this one up and yeah, I mean, look at the map that we've got going here. Sydney, Australia, Sapporo, Japan, way up north here in the province of British Columbia, Fort St. John. But I like this one. This comes from Lily. Now, we can't exactly put a pinpoint where she is because she says, I'm listening to you literally from the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. I live in California, but I'm halfway on a cruise from Miami to Lisbon. Can't wait for the playoffs to start. This one came in just ahead of game number one. That's from Lily. So somewhere in California, but right now if we were going to chart, we'd have to, like a little steamship, and move it across until it reached the shores of Portugal. So hopefully Lily's checking us out again and enjoying the cruise and enjoying some playoff hockey as well. But you know the drill by now. Let us know where you're listening, where you're checking us out. We always ask, what time is puck drop? Wherever it is for you, for a standard 7 o'clock face-off, we're going to see some staggered start times as this series goes along. Next Sunday, game four in Nashville, 4 o'clock in Nashville, 2 o'clock Pacific. Yeah. So a little bit of afternoon hockey for you there, but nighttime hockey, game two coming up on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. At Rogers Arena. But again, thanks to everybody for their submissions, and we'll continue to add to our map as rink-wide goes worldwide here in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
No, absolutely. I mean, you're kind of going worldwide here a little bit. Well, no, not worldwide. You're going to Nashville.
West side, so yes.
We're going to have, next time we pull this up, we're going to have a little Jeff's head on in Nashville for rink-wide.
One of these years, I think, just when you think of the international and the star power that Canucks have, like they seem like a pretty good candidate to take part in one of these global
series.
Go to
Sweden?
Yeah. It just feels to me like with the star power that they've got, that they would be a good team for a featured game, whether it's the global series, whether it's a Heritage Classic, whatever the case. But they're not on next year's docket, so we'll have to keep waiting on that one.
You got Arlington, Virginia.
Good.
Super Shack from Arlington, Virginia. I got a couple from China. So, you know, they did do the China trip years ago.
Yes.
Yes, remember that. Thailand, a couple. Yeah, so rink-wide, worldwide, keep them coming. This is great. Again, like Jeff said, you know, it's interesting to hear and see where you guys are watching from and listening and what time puck drop is. So definitely keep those coming so we can add to our map.
I want to remind you that there's all sorts of great coverage of the Vancouver Canucks on Canucks Army. There's an instant reaction after each and every game. Of course, shared a press box seat with Wyatt, the stanchion. He's got the stanchies after every game, so his unique and creative take. The statsies the morning after that tell you the story under the hood of the way the game went. If you haven't checked that out and you're looking to consume more playoff content here, add Canucks Army to your favorites, absolutely. Also, Canucks Convo, Monday to Friday at 2 o'clock, Quadrelli and Harm. Get their thoughts on game number one of this series. And, of course, Matt and Blake with Sakaris and Price doing their thing as well. So we've got you covered under the Nation Network tent, without a doubt, live and local coverage throughout the day and throughout these playoffs. All right, again, 7 o'clock Tuesday night. That is game number two. We'll see if there are any adjustments. You know, it's not like either of these teams has an injured player that's waiting in the wings that's going to get injected into the lineup. Andrew Brunette could make a couple of tweaks. Tyson Berry, a veteran. Dante Fabbro, local guy. A couple of defensemen. You know, we'll see if they elect to make any sort of switches on the back end. You know, for 40 minutes, I think they were probably pretty happy with the way this game went, but it is a 60-minute game, and ultimately they couldn't weather that storm, and the two quick goals turned this game in the Canucks' favor. We talked about the fact that maybe the door is open for Vasily Podkolzin. I don't think that Nils Amon is going to feature into the series unless there is an injury, and the same on defense. If the same six guys got through this one healthy, then I think Noah Juulsen is going to have to continue to bide his time. I don't think you're going to see any switches in goal. In fact, that feels like a certainty. But UC Soros, I'm sure, knows that can't allow a leaky one like he did against Lindholm and Thatcher Demko. You know, for me, this was another night, something for him to build on here as he continues to get his legs back under him after 5 weeks off.
Well, the Canucks started to build for game two in the intermission after 40 minutes, right? You come out in the third period and play that the way that they did and were able to go get the lead, were able to assert some dominance into that game in that third period, play a good hockey game, get the lead, build on it. And now you go into game two feeling pretty good, right? This game ended in regulation. You didn't go to overtime. You're able to get it done, clean win. You know, we probably don't like the first two, but if you're Rick Tocchet, I mean, your positives are there as you win game one. Now you just try and get guys going. And you know who we're talking about is Elias Pettersson, is to see what you can do to try and get him going, try and clean up the power play a little bit, maybe get some more shots, more traffic through. Got to do something different. I don't know if Connor Garland's the answer for that PP1. We'll see. But you definitely know it is a game of adjustments. It's the cliche you're going to hear in the playoffs from any show that you listen to. So we'll see what the Canucks have to do for game two.
Well, that's going to do it for us here on the opening night of the playoffs. Vancouver Canucks ultimately get their show going in that third period. They win it by a score of 4-2. Dakota Joshua with a pair. He also had an assist, so a three-point night for him. He was the first star earlier here on the program. Pia Suter credited with the 2-2 goal now, deflecting the Quinn Hughes point shot. And Elias Lindholm was the guy that opened the scoring and got the ball rolling for the Vancouver Canucks with his first obviously, of the postseason. They've adjusted the shots, as they always seem to do after
100%.
Final shots were 22-21 in Nashville's favor. So again, low event on the shot clock. Preds end up out shooting the Canucks, held a 10-7 edge in the third period. So the Canucks end up scoring on three of their seven shots in the third period. So pretty good shooting percentage there. And on the night, as the night unfolded, the Canucks just got stronger and ultimately were the better team. But both teams are into this thing. Both fan bases are into it. We can tell the response that we're getting here to our first show of the playoffs that you, the listeners and Canuck fans, are definitely into it. So that fires us up to do it again on Tuesday night. But we're going to call that the end of this program for this night. But again, check out all the great content on Canucks Army throughout the day on Monday as the teams get back to the practice ice. For Irfan Ghaffar and the guys behind the scenes, Mike and Jacob working hard, this is Jeff Patterson. Canucks with a 4-2 win over the Nashville Predators to take a 1-0 lead in their best of seven series. They're back on Tuesday. We're back as well. This has been another edition of Rink Wide Vancouver, brought to you by the Applewood Auto Group.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.